Well, let's turn to our Friday conversation, which is usually a little bit off the well-trod news track. According to a recent study, the number of women participating in college sports is at a record high. Researchers at Brooklyn College say nearly 200,000 women will play on college teams this year, the 40th anniversary of Title IX, that federal legislation designed to prevent gender discrimination in college sports. And that's a long way from a five-year-old asking her dad over 20 years ago, "Why do only boys play sports?" That girl was Ella Strauss. Her dad was sports writer Robert Strauss. They were watching a Philadelphia 76ers basketball game. And Dad writes he remembers babbling something like, "Well, no, girls play sports," while thinking, "Don't they? They must, right?" Robert grew up in the 60s, a sports guy who maybe didn't play all that great, but memorized stats, was the idiot savant of baseball trivia. He dreamed of the son he'd named Sam after his father. There would be pickup games, bonding, just like in that song from Carousel, the man who sings about his boy Bill, until...
Wait a minute. Could it be? What the hell? What if he is a girl?
That's right. Robert had girls.
A girl?
Two of them, Sylvia and Ella, the one who asked, "How come only boys play sports?" Robert tells of the sports journey they all took together in his book, Daddy's Little Goalie. And Robert Strauss joins us from WHYY in Philadelphia. Robert, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Robert Strauss, I'd say it, but like many men, when Ella asked you this, you really didn't know about girl sports.
No, I didn't. I have to admit that when I was in high school, girls played six-girl basketball. They wore skirts. Six-girl basketball because only two could play offense and two could play defense because presumably they didn't have enough energy to get down the court.
That's right. Or in volleyball, you could be the roving player, you know, because they
That's
had
right.
one person go in and out just to so nobody would take the vapors.
But suddenly Ella was asking me this question, and we went to a girls' basketball game the next day. It started us on that road.
Because she loved it. This is Haddonfield High in New Jersey playing Haddon Heights. She starts this little thing, and she's suddenly screaming and yelling, and we're winning because it was a drubbing. Haddonfield High, historically terrific sports school. And you realized you had your first lesson to teach her.
I drag her out. The game's like 58-14 or something like this. And she's saying, "Well, why can't we stay? We're winning." I said, "Sometimes when you win by too much, you really don't win at all." So in one day, I already had a sports lesson for her.
Well, so it began. This is about 20 years ago. You start getting sucked into a youth sports industry, also fantasy. You say you start driving by a fencing studio. Maybe I get her an épée. <You know?
laughs> And then I would start being maniacal. You go to T-ball. I taught them how to hit left-handed because, one, you're closer to first base. Two, all the crummy girls are on second base and can't catch the ball. So then Ella got a monumental amount of ground ball home runs. And third, the coaches think, "Oh, a left-hander. I could do something with that kid." That's
and this kid, thing. We have to say, is six. So
yeah.
You start getting into this and thinking, you know, it's like that trap you write about. Maybe your girls could be the one.
I always tell the line that if I had a boy, you know, the little bubble would go up above your head and he'd be pitching against, I don't know, Roy Halladay in the World Series. But girls, you know, you could just be that best girl, I suppose. But then the revelation did come over me because of, you know, I worked for Sports Illustrated. I worked at other big papers, whether it's sports or not. And I realized, you know, that's a little insane. And I decided to be a sort of different kind of sports parent. And that was the one who was always there, but shut up.
Well, you didn't want to coach them. Why didn't you want to coach them, by the way?
I couldn't reprimand another kid that wasn't mine. And I couldn't keep playing time straight. And I knew if I didn't, that would be the end of me in the community, I think.
There's one moment as Ella starts making her way through some of the teams and you see her score a basket. In fact, she's the high scorer with like 3 points. But you're so excited about it. And then you are on the periphery when her coach is talking to her afterwards and he says something like, "Ella, you need to share the ball." And you realize,
that's right.
Oh, yeah, I would never have thought of that.
Well, my wife calls me the pussycat dad in relation to the Tiger Mom because there was a team that Sylvia was on that she was a goalie. It was a team that scored one goal the whole year. So I would come home from games elated that it was only 2-0. I would be just the rosiest colored glasses and the not only the half-filled glasses, but the ones overflowing, you know.
Well, which is lovely to read. You know, this idea that you just love seeing your girls out there. And ultimately, they play soccer. They play basketball. Sylvia tries diving. Ella tries rowing. I mean, it's amazing, the sports ground that they're covering. And you are also, it's being revealed to you, this sports hierarchy that, you know, already applies to little boys. Now it's applying to girls. Can you describe some of this, you know, the A, the B?
The A and B team is just sort of amazing. I recount an episode where Sylvia is trying out for this soccer team, and one of the Philadelphia Flyers lives in our town, Eric Weinrich. I could see his nervousness. You know, this is a guy who's been in the Stanley Cup, and his daughter, his 9-year-old daughter, is trying out for a soccer team. And will she make the A team? But I always use this line, is that Scottie Pippen, one of the greatest players in NBA history, he was always on Michael Jordan's team. And so to Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen was the B team. Mm-hmm. So at some point, somebody's going to be better than you. And you just have to sort of face it, I suppose.
But as you write, it's like Sylvia felt she was forced to go to the dark side of the world of spring soccer and all it portended, most prominently the dreaded tryout system and the separation, almost gulag-like, with apologies to real gulags, of the A from the B. You even had somebody come to your knock on your door to recruit Ella to be on a B team?
Ella decided that soccer wasn't really for her. She played it, you know, as a little kid. But then one day our neighbor came to the door because the B team was short a kid. And he came almost like the Grim Reaper. And I can't remember how many pages of papers I had to sign just to get her on this B team that just absolutely needed a kid to have 11.
But she does get on the B team, and I'm wondering, how do the girls feel about this? I mean, parents have their own sense of, well, gee, you know, that doesn't seem fair, separating the very best from the next to best. If it's not as if we're going to the Olympics here, maybe, you know, if it was mixed up more, it could rise all boats. But did the kids care? I mean, how at this point are your girls liking sports?
The big change, if I may say, about girls' sports came when kids stopped playing Sandlot, whatever it was. But then, I don't know, 5 years old, when my kids were at that age, the clarion call goes out for T-ball, soccer, and basketball, I suppose, for everybody. And everybody comes out. So at that point, everybody wants to be where Christine is on Tuesday night. You know, that's basically it. They want to be with their friends. So I think they enjoyed it to that extent. It wasn't until 5th, 6th, 7th grade, I think, that they cared about this being better or worse. Sometimes it devastated kids. Sometimes it didn't.
Robert Strauss, author of Daddy's Little Goalie, A Father, His Daughters, and Sports. Dad is a sports reporter who 20 years ago wondered if he could even bond with girls over sports. But his daughters, Ella and Sylvia, grow up and play sports in high-achieving Haddonfield, New Jersey, in a post-Title IX world. Sports start out as a way for them to socialize, but then get more serious, more expensive. He gets more involved. And Robert, the girls graduate to traveling teams. You're driving them hundreds of miles, paying for hotels, wondering, why aren't we playing the town next door? You're paying $500-$600 for uniforms and equipment for just one sport. The girls are going to summer sports camps at nearby colleges. Then you discover secret tennis and super secret tennis. What is that?
Haddonfield's tennis coach, Jeff Holman, is the winningest tennis coach in the history of the United States.
Sounds amazing.
He schedules matches every day, which is, of course, why he's the winningest. But the point here is that somehow Sylvia found out, or we found out, about the Friday nights that he would have the junior high kids for free at some indoor tennis thing in the winter. So she gets to get on secret tennis. And then super secret tennis was, if you were good enough, you got to play Saturday nights.
And you're not being critical of this. You know, this was these coaches donating their time.
Exactly. And, you know, we live in a Garrison Keillor-like town where not only is everybody above average, everybody is above average, you know. And I always think that the sign coming into Haddonfield should say Haddonfield, land of extra credit. The last 2 years, they've won 7 state championships in sports. But, you know, in this land of overachievers, there are overachievers, too. And my kids were not overachievers. They were not the best kids. My daughter goes to Davidson now, and she's decided she's going to play IM basketball again. She's 5 foot tall.
So intramural,
intramural. And so in the backyard over break, she had me rebound for her as she made her three-pointers and all this other stuff. And I felt like it was back palling around with her again at 20 now, as it was when she was six. So that it gave us a place to go.
Well, but this is after another moment. You describe one day racing from one location where Ella's playing to another where Sylvia's playing. You walk in to see each of them sink a three-pointer. What a joy. But then you realize afterwards that was their last three-pointer because they quit. And you find out that when Ella is doing some of her college essays, as you write, you weren't exactly the villain in the reason that she quit, but how did you say it? You might have been a little overbearing.
The upside of being with your kids all the time is that you're with your kids all the time. The downside is that sometimes it is a little bit too much, and you don't realize it. And both of them decided to stop playing basketball after that day. So it is sort of a tragic irony, I suppose. Well, maybe not so tragic, but an irony that they felt that, at least in this one sport, I was too much.
Well, and then in another essay that I guess a friend has to write for you, a peer has to write an essay for you in one of her college applications, and he wrote about how she was worried about that. She didn't want to hurt you or jeopardize your bond.
That's true. And her friend Mike wrote this, that there was a conflict there, that she did enjoy being with me, but basketball was over.
And she worried about how you'd feel about that. Well, you know, now Robert Strauss, you're on the other side of this whole story when you first started, someone who had always thought you'd have a son and wasn't sure what a relationship between a father and a daughter with sports could be like. Now you're on the other side of it. What was it like during it? What was it like to sit and watch, and often with your wife, Sue, to sit and watch them play?
I always say this. I still play basketball. I'm one of the better 60-year-olds, but I play with a lot younger guys at this gym in Philly, and I was there, and one of the guys, he has young kids, and he says to me, "Well, Strauss, what's it like watching your kid play sports?" And I said, "Monroe, here's the story." I said, "There's other nine kids out there. They're in black and white. Your kid's in Technicolor." And that's really the way I feel.
Even though they never were the one. They weren't the best. They were amazing. I can't believe how many sports they played.
Right.
But they were never the one.
Correct. I mean, they were pretty good at what they were doing. But you sit there and you realize that this was just a way to be with them. That if they were in the school play, it would have been just fine. Except that if your kid is an actor, you're lucky if there's three plays and three performances a year. But there are a bazillion games to go to. That's not even one-third of a lacrosse season.
I forgot about lacrosse. They also played lacrosse. What do you think they got from it? Ella at least decided, I'm going to play intramural. I'm going to have fun. I don't want to push myself for the competitive anymore. What is Sylvia playing now in high school?
Sylvia, though she quit basketball, she replaced it with indoor track and managing the wrestling team. She plays lacrosse at a pretty high level because she's in one of these summer fancy teams, and she plays tennis on this continual state championship team. So I think, for one thing, they're fit. And for another thing, they got to be with kids being somewhat outstanding. They're very good students, and I always say, take the hardest class, not because you're going to be most successful in it, but because you're going to be with the best kids. I mean, don't you want to do the science project with the best kid instead of some schlepper? They got to play on these teams instead of, I don't know, sitting home and watching Teen Mom too many times.
And what's so great in reading your book is that you realize, I don't think the father of a boy could have more fun and be more involved than you were. It just doesn't feel like there's any other level than the one that you had. But as you said, you're kind of a fair basketball player. What do you say to people who say, you're kind of living vicariously through your girls?
I'd say that's true. I thought of this little slogan long ago, and my wife it's the one thing that endears her to me in this whole sports thing, and that is, if you didn't want to live through your kids, then why did you have them?
That's Robert Strauss. His book is Daddy's Little Goalie, A Father, His Daughters, and Sports. You can see a picture of all of them at hereandnow.org, as well as read an excerpt from the book. Robert, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been fun.